I had heard of Crazy Cat, of course. I was too young to have been aware of Crazy Cat when he came out, and indeed I think you point out in the book that toward the end of Crazy Cat's career, he was only in, I think, 45 newspapers.
I think even less, yeah.
And so I don't recall Crazy Cat as a child, but as I grew up in the 50s, I heard references to Crazy Cat. Once in a while I would see panels, examples of Crazy Cat. I never quite understood it. But in looking at your book, in which you tell the story of George Harriman and Crazy Cat, it's apparent to me that Crazy Cat was way ahead of its time in terms of humor and in sophistication. Can you comment? Am I accurate? Now, here's a script that began, I believe, in
1910 was when he introduced the character, and it became its own strip in 1913.
So here is a strip that goes back to the early part of our century and continued up to his death, I believe, it was 1944. And looking at this, at the humor.
Yeah, it's timeless. I think it's still ahead of its time. I think it's unique.
Tell me about Crazy Cat. I mean, we know the cartoons of Felix the Cat and Mickey Mouse, and we know all of these animated cartoons, but Crazy Cat was something different. Now tell me why Crazy Cat, as a cartoon character, and the subsidiary characters with Crazy Cat, were so much different from the...
Well, I think because of the creator, George Harriman. I think he was a poet and an artist, and it stood out from comics. It would still stand out today from comics.
There's a big difference between Crazy Cat and other comic strips, both of the day and now. For example, in your book, you show excerpts of Harriman's other strips.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these other strips, now I don't know about the humor so much, but in terms of drawing, they look very typical for that period up to the 30s. But Crazy Cat doesn't look like anything.
Yeah, Crazy Cat is where he really went loose. I mean, he really found his own voice with Crazy Cat. He was working as early as 18, boy. Yeah, Crazy Cat was really when he went, I think he really found his voice. That was the perfect comic. I mean, the characters and the situation. He was doing comic strips when he was 20 years old, as early as the 1900s. I think they were a little more derivative of what was going on, but the medium was so new at that point. I mean, everyone was just looking at everybody else. And so he had quite a few characters before he started Crazy Cat.
Well, tell me about Crazy Cat and the characters around him. What were they like, and what was the interrelationship between the mouse and the dog and the cat?
Well, it started out fairly simple idea. He was working on another comic strip called The Dingbat Family, and on the bottom of the strip, he said to fill the waste space. He just fooled around with a cat of the Dingbat family's cat. And he just had the cat sitting there, and a little mouse came along and picked up a piece of what we say could have been a piece of brick, but it looked like a little pebble, and he threw it at the cat's head. And it was just a little simple idea on the bottom of another strip. And as the week progressed, he just fooled around with this idea of a mouse attacking a cat instead of a cat attacking a mouse. And the readers enjoyed that part of the Dingbat family. And everyone told him to keep on doing it, and he did. And that just slowly evolved, and years later it became the story of Crazy Cat, which is the cat who just has a heart of gold, and the mouse who enjoys beating the cat's head with a brick. And the cat sees that hitting of the brick on her head as a symbol of love from the mouse, which the mouse doesn't see at all. And later on, as the strip progresses, Officer Pup, the cop of Coconino County, came into the scene, and his job was to protect the cat from the mouse's brick, which he saw as a symbol of evil or symbol of sin.
But that...
Not your average comic story.
That was the running story for years and years.
Yeah.
Always the mouse throwing a brick at Crazy Cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for over 30 years, the same basic theme of the mouse trying to hit Crazy Cat with the brick. Sometimes he didn't succeed because Officer Pup would intervene, but that was the basic plot line.
Was Crazy male or female?
Well, we said in the book, the only quote we could find from George Harriman was that that he was neither, that he was more like a spirit, just say. He knew in the strip he would call him a he or she in the same paragraph, in the same word balloon. So that was always left up in the air, yeah.
The language in the strip, rather obscure sometimes. Tell me about George Harriman's verbiage, his use of words.
Well, like I said before, he was definitely a poet. Crazy Cat talked her own form of Yiddish, and he would sprinkle it with French and Spanish and his own spellings. Definitely a fun part of the strip is to read it. To read it out loud and even try to figure out what she's saying.
Was the strip Crazy Cat extremely popular during Harriman's lifetime?
When it first started, when I said before, the Dingbat family, when it just started underneath that strip, it did catch on. And in the very beginning period of the strip, it was fairly popular. They even made some animated cartoons of the strip. But as years went on, it became less popular, and towards the end of his death, it was in very few papers. And it has it that Hearst just loved George Harriman and just loved the strip, and Harriman had a lifetime contract, whether the strip was popular or not, which is the reason it continued for all those years.
Crazy Cat reminds me of some of the intellectual, if you want to put it that way, intellectual strips that run in some of the newspapers today. Some of them appear in the Daily News, for example. I can't remember. Kathy, I think, was one of them. And, of course, there's Doonesbury.
Mm-hmm.
I should like Doonesbury more than I do. I don't know why. I don't understand it, some of it, I guess. I don't know why that is. But there are a whole bunch of these little, BC, I think, is another one, and a whole bunch of these little strips that appeal to the intellect, I think. But I have a feeling that during Harriman's day, there weren't very many strips like that, and probably Crazy Cat was alone.
It was unique. Yeah.
And probably went over the heads of many readers of the day. Tell me a little bit about George Harriman. Where was he from, and how did he evolve into a cartoonist?
Well, he was born in New Orleans in 1880. His family moved to California when he was a teenager. And he seemed he was always interested in art. His quote in the book, he painted houses for a while, but he fell off one ladder too many and decided to work with smaller quantities of paint. His first job was with the Los Angeles Examiner newspaper. And he did sketches for them, and he worked in the engraving department. And at the age of 20, he decided to take his portfolio of drawings and try the Big Apple, where most of the cartoonists were at and where most of the newspapers were at. And he was fairly successful, fairly quick. He started doing cartoons for Judge Magazine. And within the year, by 1901, he was in a lot of newspapers in New York as a freelance. He would come up with strips and sell them to different syndicates.
He moved to California, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he was back and forth all the time. He stayed in New York, became fairly successful, went back to California to marry his childhood sweetheart, then went back to New York, stayed for another 2 years, and then was back in California and worked for the Hearst papers out in Los Angeles. And in 1911, they summoned him back. No, 1910, they summoned him back to New York City, and that's where he did Crazy Cat. And back in 1920, he went back to California, where he stayed for the rest of his life. The place he loved the most was Monument Valley in Arizona, which he used the desert scenery as he uses in Crazy Cat. And he says he would have lived there, except that there was no mail to mail his comic strips in. And so, we researched. We went to Monument Valley in our research, and there's still no post office in Monument Valley. So I guess he still wouldn't live there today.
The last part of his life, that was a difficult period for him, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, he His wife died in an automobile accident, and very soon after that, one of his daughters died. And he was always a modest, reclusive type, but that made him even more so. And he spent the remaining years of his life pretty much just drawing Crazy Cat and going out to the desert. And
well, now, how did you acquire the scripts for inclusion in this book? I would have thought that some of these go way back, turn of the century, practically. And you know, I would have thought that most of these would have been lost. Or, you know, you're talking about a newspaper comic strip, that's the kind of thing you read and throw out. Where did they all come from?
We were pretty lucky. We wanted to shoot from the original strips to get better reproduction for the book. And we worked with George Herman's granddaughter, who's still alive, Dee Cox. And they had saved a lot of his original artwork, so we shot a lot from that. We went all over the country and tracked down from different collectors a lot of the original pieces that were saved. And what we couldn't get from the originals, we shot from King Features. Still has quite a few stats of his Crazy Cat work. The real early stuff we got from different collectors who collect old newspapers. Mark and Cole Johnson are historians of comic strip art, and they gave us a lot of old newspapers, and we shot from them, right from the newspaper. Yeah, because that art, that's gone. That's gone. Even tracking down the newspapers is pretty difficult, and the shape the newspapers are in. We were lucky that most of the things we shot were in good shape. We considered from like 1902.
How did you select? You must have a lot of material. Will you finally wound up with all of this? How did you make the selection?
Well, that was, for me, that was the fun part of the book. I just loved Herman's artwork, to be surrounded with all of that. Also with Herman, I've looked at everything he's done, which is, 40 years worth of work, and there really wasn't too many bad ones. I think you could have had a great book if you just did it randomly, but there are certain ones that are special, and we tracked down all of those, and so it is the best, in my opinion, the best work of his.
Work, as you saw. He did do a lot of material for people, didn't he? I noticed there were a lot of inscribed cartoons.
Yeah, he was really generous. While doing the book, we uncovered hand-colored. He would get the originals, which were done in black and white, back from the syndicate, King Features, and then he would, before he gave him away his gift, he would always add watercolor, pretty watercolors on them. And then he would give them, and we uncovered, I think, about 8 in the book that we found. And even to fans, we found a woman had a beautiful watercolor that he did, and she just wrote him a fan letter, and he personally framed it into this little beautiful watercolor just saying thank you. So he was extremely generous with his artwork.
Is there a feeling that the Herman's work has transcended the comic strip element?
It's another art, I think. We were really happy to do it with Abrams, because when we first had the idea for the Crazy Cat book, we wanted to present it as a fine art book, just not a collection of, a barely reproduced collection of comic strips. I feel it's art.
Did you make reference to the fact that there's also a gallery showing of this work?
Yes, it's at it's going on at the Graham Gallery on 1014 Madison Avenue. I'll be there, I think, until June 5th.
Are these from the book itself?
Yeah, the originals from the book. A few of the hand-colored ones, and the cover, which is a beautiful painting. We have that on loan, and that's up.
You are an illustrator yourself?
Yeah.
And tell me about your partners in this venture.
One partner was my wife, Karen. Karen O'Connell. She would use her maiden name.
Karen O'Connell?
Yeah, that's... Either that or Karen O. McDonald, so. And Georgia Riley DeHavenon, who works at the Graham Gallery, where the Crazy Cat's being shown now. The three of us for the last 4 years, tracking down Herman and Crazy Cat's life.
How did you get bitten by Crazy Cat, or scratched?
Well, I always enjoyed drawing cartoons as a kid. That was an interest of me, cartoons and comics. And the first time I saw Crazy Cat was love at first sight. I mean, it was... I think I was about 12 years old.
Like being hit by a brick.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that he was special. He was the tops. And it's kind of funny years later that I would do the book.
Have there been any other questions with Crazy Cat?
Well, that was the reason we wanted to do the book. We were waiting a long time. We were hoping someone was going to do a nice collection of his work. There were two others. There was one in 1946 that's really hard to find and didn't have any color in it. And there was another one done in the 60s that was really bad reproductions. And there, I mean, there wasn't a book that really showed it, to, you know, gave him justice. So it was one of the reasons we did it. We were waiting so long. No one else was going to do it. We figured maybe we'd give it a shot.
Well, it was actually my introduction to Crazy Cat outside of seeing isolated panels mm-hmm. here and there.
Yeah, I mean, it's considered the best of comic strips. I mean, everyone considers it the classic comic strip, and it's sort of a shame that there hasn't been a book of, I mean, they call him the American Genius, so we're really glad that there's finally one out.
He was a Creole, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, in tracking down the book, that was one of the surprising facts. There was rumors towards, you know, what his nationalities were. Usually he was considered, they would, in other biographical information, it was either they would say he was French or Greek, but in tracking it down, he was Creole. Yeah.
Well, Patrick McDonald, I thank you very much for coming in and talking to me and telling me the story of George Harriman and Crazy Cat, and I think you did not only George Harriman the memory of a service, but I think you've enlightened a lot of us as to what Crazy Cat was all about.
Oh, thank you.